This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Walk before you can run department. Your power play scored in the last two games, and you're creating some more opportunities even from last night where you didn't score. I mean, what have you seen in recent games to get some progress going?
I think that as a staff and the power play group, we've seen that type of progress for probably 3 weeks. We've seen it in practice a lot. We've seen it in some parts of games, not all. And I'm a believer that if you're doing things right, I believe in the process. And if you're doing things right in practice and they're doing things right in games, results will come if you don't get discouraged by the current results or the current state you're in. And so the power play in Prague was terrible. And I think since then, it's been a slow, steady march of buying into the process of how we enter, how we get pucks back, how we attack retrievals, how we solve pressure out of retrievals. And all of those things need to be in order for the players to then allow their skill to shine. And so I think we've done a better job of that. Not perfect. We got a lot of work to do. And I think in the last 5-6 games, then we've been converting all of that into scoring chances. And then now a few of them have started going in the net.
And how tough was that, though, when it was 0-for-22 to stick with it?
Yeah, it is. You know, you worry always about the psyche of the players. That's you know, I being a coach that's coached at a lot of development levels, I've seen that before, though. When you're coaching the U.S. national team in the U-17 year, the amount of failure before success is just crazy. And so you really believe, if you believe in what you're doing and the players are bought into what they need to do, I do believe that results are going to come. But yeah, it can be trying. I give our guys a lot of credit, especially the leaders, Darlene and Thompson and Tucky and guys like that, that they've come out and continued to attack some of the areas of deficiency. You know, entries were an issue for us last year. And I think going into the last two games over the six games prior, we were sixth in the NHL in entry success in that little six game segment. But that's good. That shows there's some progress being made. Retrievals were a massive issue for us last year. We are 31st in the league in loose puck recoveries on the power play. And we've been recovering them at a really high rate over the last 6-7 games. So, you know, I think that give the players a lot of credit that when they weren't seeing success on the scoreboard, they were still bought into the things we need to get better at to turn that into success. So now we just have to keep building on it.
You know Jack Quinn very well. You know his game very well. What have you seen that's maybe been missing? And how do you work with him, just considering how well you guys know each other and you know his game as well?
Yeah, and I think what we all have to remember is that he basically missed a year of hockey. And not only a year of hockey, games is showing the public, but a year of training and practicing and strength training and all of those things with some of the really significant injuries. And it just doesn't happen like that. When you miss that level of time, your timing, your confidence, the spatial awareness, all of those things, because you can do all you want in the summer on the ice, but it isn't the chaos that is an NHL game, especially in 5-on-5 situations. So there's a time that's going to take for him to regain all of those things. And so, you know, sometimes you're meeting with him and encouraging him to stay the course, and other times you're trying to give him space as well, because you don't want to overcoach a player that is going through some challenges and some adversity.
You know how fast he can be. Is he still working on getting his skating back up to where it was? That kind of an injury sometimes can be tough, whether you're running or skating or whatever.
Is he still working to try to get his skating back up to where it was?
You know, it's a good question. I think the easy answer, you know, might be yes, but I think there's things that go into that. It's not just skating. It's also decision-making and lack of time and space and processing, because the quicker your decision-making is, the faster you look. And the more confident you are, the faster you look. And so sometimes it is skating, but sometimes it's all of those things combined. I know that young man. I know what exists inside of him. And I know what he's made of. And I have the utmost belief that he's going to pull through the adversity that he's going through right now, because of how he attacks going about his business.
You know, he's on that second unit. What do you see from that second unit? Because the first unit in the power play has been appreciated.
Yeah, I actually think the Owens unit, for large portions of the season at times, was looking even better in practice and in games. I think as Dahlin's unit has gotten better and better, when you retrieve pucks at the rate they've been retrieving pucks lately, that extends the time they're going to stay on the ice, because they've been in zone for, you know, sometimes maybe after the faceoff, but they've been in zone for a minute, 20, minute 30. So I've liked what Owen's unit, depending on the personnel, Bo's been on it, you know, but Jack's been a mainstay on that. I like what that unit has looked like, and they've created a lot of chances in shorter windows of time. And I think that's something we just got to keep getting better at too, is our shift length. And even on the power play, you know, as good as that power play was in the third period last night, okay, we don't break them. We get all those chances. It could have went in. They send it down. Let's get off the ice and give that unit their 40-ish seconds, because we got a lot of good players there, and trusting that they're going to get out there with fresh bodies and go execute.
What has stood out about Owen's first 10 games? Significant start. I know you coached him full time last year, but just what stood out about maybe his start here?
I think you know, not having been around Owen on a day to day basis, when you are around him, what you really appreciate is the intelligence he plays the game with at both an offensive and a defensive level, and how many good situations he puts himself and his teammates in, offensive and defensively, because of his decision making, because of his mind, because of his ability to manipulate defenders and then put his forwards or other players on the ice in offensively advantaged situations.
What did you take from seeing the Florida Panthers twice this month, especially last night when you saw the real team with all their guys on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, they're the Stanley Cup champs for a reason. They've been through the adversity, the growth. You know, they went through that transformation. This is just me outside looking in at them and using them as an example of with prospects and in the American League and such. Is, you know, they were a high flying, trade chances, rush oriented team 3 years ago. They went through the adversity of changing that, where they barely made the playoffs that year, and it was a rocky year outside looking in. I'm certainly not knowledge of it, but because you're going from trying to be a high flying trade chances team to a team that can win long term sustainably in the playoffs, which is with defense and predictability and structure. And then they found success through it with the last two playoff runs they've had, and obviously winning the championship. And you could definitely feel last night that they didn't get the line I would use is they didn't get bored playing the right way. Even though they weren't getting a volume of chances, they didn't have many chances in the first period. They capitalized on the ones they did. We fought back and got it 2-2. You know, and teams of that caliber aren't going to go away, and they're not going to stray very often and go chase the game. You just can't get bored playing to your identity, and certainly they didn't last night.
You put in a lot of work to help JJ round out his game in Rochester. What have you made about
the way his play away from the puck. The last shift of the game against Detroit stands out to me, the way that he forces Kane to shoot the puck wide, and just he seems to be putting himself in good positions to help you guys.
Yeah, that's a great example of it, the diving play he makes, which probably saves a backdoor tying goal. JJ, his play away from the puck doesn't surprise me. It may surprise some others, but those are things we saw in him in Rochester. He backchecked. He won puck battles. He forechecked. You know, me and Michael Pekka and I would always tell him that his legs were his moneymakers, and they're not just for offense. If you want to be a great player, you got to use that speed in your legs for checking as well, forechecking and backchecking and team defensive play. I think he's done that at a very strong rate. When you look at the collectivity of the first 10 games of the season, now we just want more of that.
What have you seen from Yuri Kulik, you know, earning his spot?
I think that what I've liked. We all know of Yuri's offensive ability, his shot, and his ability to create offense and score goals. And we've seen glimpses of that already in terms of how many chances he's created, and he has one. He easily could have many more. He's realizing how hard it is, how good the goaltending is at this level. He's the best goalies in the world. But then what I've liked is that he's earned a lot of Lindy's trust. Coaches play players they trust. That's the reality. They don't play players that are talented. There's nothing worse as a coach than calling a player's name and not totally knowing what you're going to get the next 40 seconds. The best feeling you to have as a coach is, regardless of skill level, is when you call a player's name and you know what you're going to get for the next 40 seconds. And Yuri's done a really good job on the wall. He's won puck battles. He's backchecked. And he and I have talked about those things, all the things that we were on him about in Rochester that maybe didn't always seem as important in Rochester because he's scoring so much. As you're learning how to score in the NHL, those other things are things that can keep you in the lineup and keep getting you more opportunities to prove that you can actually also score in the NHL. And I think he's done a real good job of that.
Stephen, just talk about one game with him, and I understand that, but he had three shifts over a minute. One was like a minute 20, and seven shifts over 45 seconds. You had him as an 18-year-old. Is that something that was ever a problem in Rochester, or is that just a
You know, those are things we talked a lot about in Rochester, but I think that could go for, you know, I think shift length is something we can keep tightening up as a group, not just Yuri. Some of it is also dictated by you can get caved in defensively and stuck on the ice in the second period, especially. So sometimes that's where those anomalies are in terms of the actual length. If you had an opportunity to get off, and it goes that long, that's more concerning than sometimes if you just had to get, you had to stay on because you were in the defensive zone. But I do think for us to play with the competitiveness and the speed and the pace that we collectively want to play with, we can tighten up our team shift length so we can roll over and make our pace a lot higher.
The power play you mentioned kind of keeping tabs on the player psyche. I'm curious what it's like for you first time at this level when it's going that way. Like, you have to kind of keep yourself in check a little bit just with the spotlight that comes with, you know, having a gig at this level.
You do. I think you got to make sure. I think the definitely what you're always on your mind is making sure you don't overcoach. You're trying to, as coaches, we spend hours and hours and hours combing through tape, video, and our own, and opponents, and tendencies, and opponent goaltenders, all this stuff, to boil down to what is necessary to share with the players so they have enough information to know what's coming at them, but not so much that it bogs them down mentally. And so I think that probably is the biggest thing I tried to remind myself of in that. And also that, you know, went through worse situations and solved bigger problems than just going a few games on the power play without scoring.
What's the best way to handle guys that might be going through fits of lack of confidence?
younger players, but you know, they're playing at the NHL level, but they're trying to make an impact, but they're struggling.
Trying to get them to attack, work. Confidence comes from preparation, not from your stat sheet. And that's hard to pound in sometimes with younger players, because they want to look and see if this amount of goals and assists or shots or whatever, and I feel good about that. And that plays into it for sure. But you need to really believe in your process, and you need to believe in the work. And so when you are gripping it, or you're not having as much offensive success as you'd like, is to, instead of the woe is me, I can't buy anything or nothing's going my way, is attack the work, attack the process of getting better, and then believe in that. I'm a massive believer that confidence comes from preparation. If you check all the boxes, if you stack these little victories on top of each other, which little victory would be like the way you practice, how you take care of yourself off the ice, the extra work you put in before and after practice, the sleep you get, how you take care of your body away from the rink, all those things, you just check those boxes and stack those daily wins, then you get to the game and you can just play free. Because you know you've done the things necessary to put yourself in position to be successful. And so that's the biggest thing I try to get any of our players is attack that process, believe in that process, and then when you get in the games, trust that process and let it fly.